Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Unbothered. Unbothered.
Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake quote. Choo. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
Hello, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Oh man, I was just getting the computer ready and my plate fell on the floor and shattered. Right under my workstation. So now I have to make sure I put on shoes. Yes.
Yeah.
And wearing shoes in the house.
You gotta get house shoes.
I have like 75 pairs, and I hate wearing shoes in the house. Shoes are for outside. don't let me get a farm or something.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man,
such a rainy day today.
I know, it's terrible. I mean, I like rain. Actually, I'm lying. I like rain. I just don't like to not have an umbrella in the rain. If I have an umbrella, I'm just fine with the rain. I just need an umbrella.
I'm not ready for this change of weather. I need my heat back.
But it was warm yesterday. Was it yesterday that it was warm? I think it was yesterday. It was warm yesterday.
Yeah, it was like 75, I think.
Yeah,
but then it
was
still
crazy.
Raining.
One day it'll be 40.
It rained at night.
Yesterday? Oh,
yeah.
I don't even have the blinds.
It was pouring from last night through today. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew that. That's right. I heard that in the window. I knew that. I'm going to find my house slippers, ladies and gentlemen, so that I don't come.
Okay. Yes, please.
My Divalicious slippers. Mom's friend.
Oh, yeah, no, that's perfect because it has the hard bottom.
And yes, and it matches the rest of my outfit. I'm just so stylish. Nice little black with a little sparkle.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
that's
man.
Funny.
I like to coordinate. Is that daddy's word? Speaking of daddy, I think he's running a little bit late.
Oh.
Oh, I think he's running a little bit late.
Funny. I still can't believe it's
so what's going
October.
On in the world?
I feel... What is going on in the world? I've been tuned out. I got to watch my CNN.
Oh, this is terrible. I have a topic from someone that has been, from a listener.
Oh.
So when Daddy gets on, I'll ask the question and then Daddy can
okay.
give his opinion.
What's interesting, I think, now is the COVID vaccine mandates and athletes that are refusing. Like Kyrie Irving is probably like the main face of this, you know, wanting to make sure that he stands up for others and, you know, not get the vaccine. He's been getting so much flack for it, and it's been a whole big situation because he can't play because of New York's mandate. He can't play any games in New York, and he's on a Brooklyn Nets. So he's going to miss, like, half the game and not get paid for it.
I don't understand.
And it's so crazy because other people from other teams that come to play in the arena, the Nets arena, Barclays, and their state or whatever is not mandated. All they have to do is bring a COVID negative test, and they can play.
But I don't think that, and I'm neither pro nor against. I think that everybody has can do what they want. I still do not understand why a mandate is necessary, and I guess at some point somebody will explain it in a way that I understand. I don't understand why they're mandated, because the vaccination is supposed to protect people that get it. And when you have the vaccination and you're around someone that's unvaccinated, it is supposed to, like, that person, anybody can make anybody sick, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated. Anybody can make anybody sick. We still have to take precautions and stay the hell away from people. Like, don't get in people's face. Don't cough in front of people. If you're sick, stay away from people. This is where adults, some of us, because the adults are more of the problem than anybody else. But I don't understand how, like, even with, the late Colin Powell, when they were talking about, like, people that were unvaccinated made it bad. Like, I don't understand how a vaccinated versus unvaccinated person would affect somebody that was vaccinated or unvaccinated. Like, if I'm vaccinated and there's somebody that's unvaccinated and somebody that's vaccinated, they both can give me COVID. I can give both of them COVID. If you choose not to take the vaccine and you know the repercussions from it, that's your choice as a human being. Nobody should force you to be vaccinated. I don't understand why mandates are necessary, except for financial gain. That's the only thing that makes sense.
But there's
sense
no financial gain to
I don't
it,
understand.
It doesn't cost.
No, somebody's making
it doesn't cost.
No. Somebody's making money from the vaccine. Somebody's making money from people getting vaccinated. We're not losing money, but somebody is. They wouldn't give it out for free. So, like, there's stuff going on.
Oh,
somebody's
hi,
making
Daddy.
Money somewhere. Yes, Daddy's here.
Hello,
but
fam.
I just don't understand. Hi, Daddy.
We're talking about the vaccine mandate, and specifically basketball players, you know, specifically Kyrie Irving, that is sort of all over the news, and, you know, people are just jumping down his throat about his decision not to get vaccinated, and, you know, other people have come out, and even, I don't know if you guys heard the whole situation with Magic Johnson, how he came out and said, well, you know, like, people who don't get vaccinated are being selfish, and then they equated him having HIV to somebody not getting the COVID vaccine. And I was just like, yeah, because he did an interview, and then somebody came out and said, you know, they sort of, like, equated it to, you know, bring up the fact that because he had HIV, you know, it was very similar to that. And they were like, but you can't spread HIV through, like, just being in the presence of somebody. And, like, it was just, like, I feel like the conversation is just getting so crazy.
It is getting crazy and ridiculous, and people are go ahead, Dad.
No, I was just going to say it's very successful. This is another example of the Willie Lynch syndrome that has us divided and fighting each other once again. It's not about
That's
the
true.
Complexion. It's not about the hair texture. It's not about the age. It's not about the gender. We have now found another way to fight amongst ourselves, as opposed to understanding exactly what's going on. And the thing is that this Western education is one of the most inferior educations that you can get.
That's true.
And what people are talking about as a relation, and nobody talking about what a virus is. A virus is a parasite. And a virus, when it is ignited, is going to search for its weakest client, so to speak. And in the beginning, it would go after people who have already preconditioned, and it would go after the elderly, because they have compromised, you know. As you mature, you know, like, do you know how many times my heart has beat in my life? compared to somebody who's 10 years old? How many times I've taken a breath? How many times my liver and my lungs and my kidneys and every part of my body has had to act over the years that I've been alive? So when you have a, when you mature, that's why you got to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we understand there's two types of vaccines. There's the preventative, which would be, for instance, in my case, and anyone else that may go to, let's say, Dr. Sabi, or I should say Sister Ma'at, somebody who follows the health regimen, that's a preventative vaccine. A vaccine
mm-hmm.
really is meant to defeat invading organisms, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then from preventative, you have the curative. And the curative is after you get it, how you fight it once it's inside your body. There's
mm-hmm.
one that defends you from getting it, period. And then there's the other one that will help you. There's, no one talked about the vaccine. Nobody talked about the fact that there were vaccines in Africa. That's where the Western world through the Moors even learned about what a vaccine. Now, vaccine wasn't our word for it, but basically what it is to either prevent you getting sick or cure you from your sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And viruses, like the way they're talking about the variants and all that, that's nonsense. The way in which you should scorecard a virus is the same way you do a hurricane. You have a number one hurricane. You have a number two hurricane. You have a number three hurricane. You know, it goes in numbers. And then you have the tropical storm and you have this. That's what a virus is. The flus that we've been getting is like tropical storms. What
mm-hmm.
we just got in terms of this particular virus, this, if you were to number it from 1 to 5, this is about 2.
Huh.
Because in Europe, when you look at the bubonic plague wiped out a
mm-hmm.
third of Europe
mm-hmm.
in the 1300s. It wiped out entire towns.
How did the bubonic plague start?
They nasty.
Mm.
The same way this one starts. They're nasty.
Mm.
And that's why the advice, from now on, no more shaking hands. You
mm-hmm.
see me
yep.
wear my gloves. You wear a mask during the season
mm-hmm.
that you get
mm-hmm.
sick. And you keep a distance from people. Don't be getting in people's space.
I've been doing
you
that.
Can't tell the well, majority of people that.
I've been doing that
so,
since before COVID.
Well, you know how I feel. I've you know, I've been walking with the antibacterial soap for a long time.
Hand sanitizer.
Look, family. You know, my thing is, I believe that the one thing that came out of this particular, let's say, the last 18 months. You can even go back to the election of 2016 if you want. The one thing I've come to realize more than ever before, and I ask the family to understand this, the European and Asian ethnic stock is an inferior thinking people. And we give them too much credit. We think this is all a plan. This is not planned by them. They took advantage of it once it came here. They're not that smart to do this.
Mm.
They have failed. And with due respect to all the people that are out front doing all this talking about they're the saviors of this, look, let me tell you something. The people that are in front now that say they've been in this for 50 years, they were in this with sickle cell. They were in this with other diseases, and they let black folk die. They used
mm-hmm.
black folk. You don't believe me? Just get the book by Harriet Washington. Dr. Washington wrote the book Medical Apartheid. If you don't believe what's going on, brothers and sisters, stay your ass out of prison.
Mm.
Read a book called Acres of Skin and look at the experiment they're doing on prisoners, just the one in Pennsylvania alone.
That's crazy.
They're doing it all around. You talk about harvesting organs. They know about melanin. They're testing melanin on prisoners. to feed black prisoners and the melanin. They're harvesting organs. This is what they're doing, and that's what Get Out was about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wake up. We got to wake up. These people nasty. They have very bad personal hygiene habits. You heard them just the other day say, I only take a bath when I'm dirty.
Mm.
And that's somebody that everybody knows and admires.
Visibly,
that's nasty.
Visibly dirty.
Because disease don't come from being dirty. I know a lot of people real clean and they pass on disease. You don't wash when you're dirty. You wash as a personal hygiene habit to keep things off of you. When you're dirty, my goodness. But anyway, be that as it may, we need to have real conversations, family, and we need to educate ourselves. And don't you depend on this Western world because they are so ignorant. They should be ashamed of themselves for thinking that they're intelligent. With all that they've done, the difference, the reason why black folk don't want this vaccine and the reason why Europeans don't want this vaccine are two different reasons altogether. You can't combine the two. You cannot, those individuals of other ethnic stock, don't be congratulating the basketball players and all the people that don't want to take. They're not doing it for the same reason that you don't want to do it. You're just using them. They're doing it for very real reasons. And black people, I don't care who they are, that coming down on people that don't want to take this vaccine ought to know better. I understand. LeBron James said it, and I agree with the brother. He did his scientific research. He made his decision, but he would never tell another person what to do with their body. That is
right.
And I respect that answer. Because as we see now, you ain't protecting nobody, because even if you would get the vaccine, you still can give it to somebody else.
Right. It was never intended to stop you from getting it. And that's why I said what I said when I first started talking. I don't understand the purpose of the mandate, because if you decide not to get it and something happens, you know the consequences. It's a personal decision. Everybody has a right to have their own personal decisions. If you get it, that's perfectly fine. If you don't get it, that's perfectly fine. Neither one, if I have the vaccine, someone doesn't, and someone does, both of them can give me COVID. Both of them, I can give. I don't understand why anybody would mandate anybody to get it, because anybody can get it. Anybody can die from it. You could be vaccinated and die from it. It does not matter. I do not understand mandates at all, and I never will, and I don't think that is right.
Well, the mandate came out before. See, they pushed the mandate before when you could, when it wasn't known that if you got the vaccine, you still could get it. So the story was, if you get the vaccine, you're safe. But now the mandate don't work now because you're not safe. Anybody can still get it.
But why are they still pushing it? But
because
they're still
money.
Pushing it. I don't understand.
No money.
And that's what
money,
I said.
The pharmaceuticals.
That's what I said. That's
multi-billion dollar business. Multi-billion dollar business. Come on now. Whenever you want to know an answer in the Western civilization, follow the money.
That's what I said.
That's the
bottom
line. That's
the only thing that makes sense.
That's right. People paying for it, but it's organizations is paying for it, but they getting kicked back too. Everybody getting money on this. Same thing with Vietnam and Afghanistan. Everybody say, that war wasn't fought to win. That war was fought so that people like Dick Cheney could become a billionaire. Who won in Afghanistan? The people who won in Afghanistan, the same people that created the bomb to blow up Iraq and Afghanistan were the same companies that got paid to rebuild it. It was a multi-billion dollar business, and they bought out puppets of Vietnamese and they bought our puppets, or if you want to call them Sambos, in Afghanistan. That's why, remember when Afghanistan folded? The president hightailed it out in a couple of hours. He was out, brought millions of dollars with him. He sold out his own people. In Vietnam, it was the same thing. So what did the war do? It made the corporations absolutely filthy rich. What is this pandemic doing? What is this vaccine doing? It's making the pharmaceuticals absolutely rich.
That's so crazy.
That's the way this system is set up. Just the way it is.
But we fighting. We all fight against each other to make other people rich. Everybody, even that's what I've always said. When it comes to racism, racism is a distraction. I'm not saying that anybody's right when it comes to the way that you treat people, but the fact that there's people that think that they're better than any other people do, they keep it on TV and they keep it in our vision so that we will all continue to fight each other because they want us to be distracted from what's really going on.
Amazing.
Because there are people that there are people that are doing bad things to people of color because they are part of the distraction and they don't even realize it.
That's it.
And it's ridiculous.
This is another Willie Lynch syndrome. Another reason for us to fight each other. We ain't even got sense enough to back off of each other.
Not even during this pandemic.
Never.
We haven't even been able to come together during the pandemic.
No. That's why the message
like
has
said,
to be
it's
given.
A distraction.
That's it.
Yeah.
No distraction.
They can distract us. They can control
That's
us.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah.
Because your eye is off your prize.
Yeah.
You got to keep your eye on the prize.
And that's why what you do is so important, Daddy, because you don't tear people down. You educate people. And
that's the
difference between you. You know, even when you say things that are passionate, it still isn't to tear people down. It's to speak scientific facts. And even if the people that you're talking about just took that into consideration, they'd be better people too. But so many people that are in positions like how you are, they are so focused on tearing people down that they have no idea how to build other people up. When you talk about situations, you talk about the way to make situations better, make black people feel better about themselves, and make non-people of color realize their errors and how they can be better. It's never about caring, and that's why if there were more people like you, the distractions wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Because even if you listen to what you're saying, even if you're saying something passionate, some people might take it the wrong way, but if they listen to what you were saying, they would understand the purpose of the words that you're speaking and understand that the words that you're speaking will make everybody's life better, whether you're black or white or Asian or Spanish-speaking, French-speaking, whatever you are. If we focus less on what, you know, the bad things and more on making ourselves better and realizing, you know, if white people realize how they contributed to the way that the way that black people feel about certain things, things would get better.
Bottom line.
But everybody is just so – white people are so – white people feel guilty, black people are angry, and rightfully so, but it's not going to make anything better.
Except for
even
those that are making money off of our fighting.
Right, exactly. And some of them are black. Some of them are
black.
That's
true. Well, those are the puppets.
Some of them are white. Some of them are black. Yeah.
Some of them are Afghani.
The ones that we follow.
Some of them are... Yes. Well, they're there for that purpose.
Even the ones that we... Yeah. Even the ones that we think are our leaders in the black community, if we became better, they would lose out money. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way that the capitalist society of America works.
Isn't it interesting, Sasha and Kondike, that money is an illusion?
Right. You know I know that.
So, I know. That you know, that's why I say, even with what they're going after, willing to destroy humanity, isn't it interesting that what they're willing to sacrifice to destroy it is an illusion?
Not even real.
Money don't exist. It don't exist. It's an illusion that has become somebody's reality.
Not only does it not exist, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't build you up.
Nope.
It doesn't do anything that the reason why people will backstab and go against, it doesn't do anything that they're doing, the reason that they have behind what they're doing.
That is it.
And people don't even realize that. People will sell their family members just for money, and it doesn't even make them happy. They're still not happy, like you said.
Because money doesn't make you happy.
See, it's that material concept, the material wealth. You know, there was a time when the human family understood the natural wealth of spirit. Not religion, but spirit, family, accomplishment, success. Listen, family, it cost this country and the world. They lost billions of dollars when they stole the land from Native Americans and enslaved Africans. What they were willing to trade for all the money they lost was their ability to dominate people. We have lost and we continue to lose so much money. If we were now, as it relates to politics, okay, go back and forth. But what I'm going to talk about is President Biden's plan. Is Build Back Better. For anybody to say that to invest the infrastructure is good for politicians, it's good for construction, it's good for people that got jobs, which is mostly them. That's why what they call the progressives, I don't know what that means, but what the brothers and sisters that were fighting and said, if we don't get the Build Back Better, you're not getting infrastructure. That was a brilliant strategy that it went over a lot of black folks' heads because the infrastructure was for white people. The Build Back Better is for black and Hispanic and melanated people because that's the human infrastructure. And that's why everything infrastructure deals with the physical, and everything that deals with the Build Back Better, the second bill that they're trying to negotiate, it deals with humanity. College, child care. Look at the differences between the two bills. And what the progressives did, and again, I'm afraid of that word, but Alexandria Cortez and the squad, you know, Ilhan Omar, and all of them, what they had in their hand was something to negotiate. What they wanted to do is, well, pass the infrastructure bill, and then we'll pass the other bill. But we know you're a liar. We know you're only saying that because we'll pass the infrastructure bill, but then when it's time to pass the bill we want, you're going to turn your back on us. You're a liar, and we know you're a liar. I don't care if you're Democrat or not. You're a liar, and you're not. And so what the progressives did is they said, you pass our bill, and we'll pass yours. That's the only thing that made this happen and made them lion foxes, who are Democrats, decide that they were going to negotiate. It was a brilliant move. But you know what that shows? That shows that melanated people are on the rise in America because at one time we wouldn't have had that power to do that. I'm talking politics now, fam. I'm not talking coach. I'm talking politics. And in politics, don't be looking for nobody to like you, to do something for you because they like you. They don't do nothing because they like you. They don't like you. They hustle you. One of the characteristics of a politician, you must be a liar. Because if you told the people the truth, they would not elect you. That's just the way it is.
Everybody knows that.
Paralysis out the analysis. We better get ourselves together, and we better learn how to act a little devilish in hell. You may be an angel, but if you in hell, you better act a little devilish. Never become the devil, but once you get the hell out of hell and you get back into heaven, then you can act angelic. But while you in hell, you got to act devilish, because that's the only language these people understand. Malcolm say, you don't speak Italian to Spaniards, and you don't speak Spanish to British. You wouldn't be understood. Malcolm said, you speak to me in the language of peace, I'll speak back in peace. You speak back to me in violence, I will defend myself. And Malcolm said, self-defense isn't violence, it's intelligence. And that's all they understand. They don't understand holding hands and it's going to be all right. Okay.
But people don't think that that's wrong. People don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, whether you work in finance or bank, like people consider it the way of the world. Like, nobody thinks
that's
it's bad. So they don't even know.
That's what
and that's why even people that have white privilege, they don't understand that just the ability for them to get pulled over and be able to curse a police officer out is privilege, because they don't have the fear that black people have. You know, even passing a police officer, you have a fear. And then you see people that the police pull them over and they start cursing them out and be like, give me your badge. Like, when you see that, no, people don't realize that that is privilege. People don't realize that because that's the way that they were born. So they feel like that's normal life. They don't even realize that they're privileged to be able to curse a police officer, you know, or something. Or be a Karen in the store. Like, they don't realize how much of a privilege it is just to be able to speak how you, to not have someone disrespect you is a privilege. And people don't consider that to be white privilege because that's the way that they were born. Like, you know, people don't understand it. And then when you try to say that they have white privilege, they say that you're, you know, reverse racism and all these other things that they want to say. And it's not true. And nobody takes into consideration what's actually going on in the world when it comes to people being mistreated. People think that it's a lie. Even when you look at higher up places in corporate America, you see, I mean, it's growing, and I personally have seen it within my own, you know, where I work, but it's still something that when you see the majority of people look a certain way, it's not that we're not capable of being in a certain position. We just, you know, we're not there. Some of us don't want to be there. And some of us are being overlooked because people assume that we're a certain way where we're not. And then when they realize that people, when they speak to people, they realize that not everybody is the way that they assumed people were, like from television.
People was always surprised at me. People were always surprised at me. And you know, with places that I've been, things that I've done in my lifetime. I have only, the only people of European and Asian descent that I would bow my hat to with respect for their intelligence that is greater than mine, brilliant elders, many brilliant elders of European and Asian descent. I have never met anybody whose mind is finer than mine. I've met people whose mind is as fine as mine, but I ain't never met nobody with a mind finer than mine. and I'm just dropping it like it's hot so the people can understand something. Own your greatness. Own it.
Yeah.
Because that's what our young people respect. See, that's what hip-hop did. That's what rap is. That's why, you know, when you see rappers and they profiling and they talking about how great they are, that is what they're looking for. They're looking for people that are proud of themselves. And that's why, you know, Trump became famous because of black people. When the rappers in the 90s were started to do riffs on him and talk about him and quote him in different songs, that's what made him famous.
That's actually terrible.
We don't realize this. I'm a New Yorker. I was raised here. I followed Trump. I followed Trump's father. When I say that, I mean studied and heard about him and when they sued him and all the rest of that. And I know that
but
he was really a...
I didn't, I'm sorry, I didn't see it, but all of those rappers, all of these ones that now that talk so much trash about him, had him in their music videos. Like,
yeah.
He's never changed. He's never been different. He's always been this person, but nobody cared until it became popular to care. And that's the saddest part about it, because Donald Trump has never changed. He's always, and he probably was worse when he was younger because he didn't look the way he does now. Like, he's always been this person. He's always been racist, or maybe, I don't know if racist is the right word, because there's something else that he is, but he's always been the person that he is. And people put, black people put him in their music videos. They hung out with him. They invited him to their parties. But now, people care.
And he went.
Right.
You know, I don't think he, you know, I don't think he's a racist. I don't think he's a misogynist.
And that's what I said.
I think
he's
crazy.
Psychopath.
Well, you know something? I think he has 1 foot in sociopath and 1 foot in psychopath.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, a psychopath is someone who does horrible things and knows they're doing horrible things. A sociopath is someone that does the same horrible things but doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. He's part of both worlds.
I agree.
From what I see.
I agree. And I think that the saddest thing is that I really feel like when he's alone in a room, he's hearing his father talk shit about him. Like, he's hearing how his father talks.
Donald, you're a damn failure. You're always a failure. You've been a failure. That's why I sent you to military school in high school, because you're a failure.
Right.
I gave you all that money and you lost every. And he hears his father's voice in his head. That's why he said, "No, Daddy, I won, Daddy, I won."
Yep.
That's his mind. Condicate.
Yep. There's a. Oh, go ahead.
No. I was going to ask Condicate, because now we're in her territory. Condicate, I want to ask you something. Not just in terms of Donald Trump, because it's not fair to put it on him. America was like this 400 years ago. Donald Trump only opened up Pandora's box, but Pandora's box was already there. He just opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
What terms of your perspective, what do you think about this? What do you think? Not just about Donald Trump. My thing is, look, Donald Trump ain't president no more, and stuff is still going on.
Yeah.
It's the people that are following him.
He still has a voice.
Somebody.
Even though everything was
he's
taken
president
from
of some
all
people,
the platforms,
right.
All of the platforms were taken from him, he still has a voice.
Yeah, he's the president of a group of people. He has his own party.
But it's just, you know, this is the reflection. This is what a lot of people feel. This is how they feel. And what Donald Trump did was he just gave a voice to the voiceless at that moment.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of people who were not seen, who were not heard, who didn't feel worthy, who didn't, you know, who were basically tucked away. Nobody cared about them. Nobody paid attention to them. And that's who he tapped into. And into those people, he gave them a voice. He made them feel good. He made them feel seen. He made them feel heard. And just looking at what he did, it was a smart, genius move what he did, because he already had the people who are part of the 1%. He already had rich people.
Sheeple too, but people.
No, I know that's what you said. Sheeple, that's a good word. Sheeple.
But he already had, he already had individuals that would back him because of his agenda. And, he knew he wasn't going to get majority of the black vote who were conscious, who were aware of, how they felt. And, he knew he wasn't going to get that type of people. So, okay, now who does he look for? He looks for those that are living in poverty, trailer parks, individuals who go under the radar, individuals who are not even known probably to the educational system because they don't even go to school. They're not aware of mainstream society, and they're not granted any sort of access to anything, or it's sort of separate to them. But now, he's tapping into the highest amount of people who have the highest amount of money, and then now to people who have the lowest amount of money. And, you know, that was a genius idea because I don't think anybody prior to him thought about that. And so what he did in his reality and in this game we call life, what he did was a genius move. And that's what got him elected. The problem was once he was elected, he didn't do what he promised to those individuals. He only catered to the rich. He didn't cater to the poor that he, you know, he said, oh, I got your back. I'll do this. I'll do that. He didn't do anything for them. So then the second time around, they didn't come out to vote for him. And, you know, I don't think he cared. I think he just wanted to be on top. And I think Donald Trump was Kim Kardashian before Kim Kardashian was Kim Kardashian. People don't realize that this is somebody who fed off of fame, who fed off of whether good or bad. His name was in people's mouth, so he felt good. Oh, they're talking about me. Oh, I feel good about myself. Look, I did what I needed to do. It doesn't matter if they like me or not. Attention is attention, regardless if it's good or not. So what he did was he shed light. He was pure entertainment to me. Like, I would just sit there and watch, you know, because you still, regardless of if you agree or disagree with someone, you still need to hear what they have to say, because a lot of what they have to say, a lot of other individuals that you may come across feels like that. And that is a part of what a discussion is, being able to understand both sides, not understand it in a sense that you agree with it, but understand that there are two sides to situations, and not everybody's going to agree, but, you know, it's just interesting having conversations with people that you may not necessarily agree with. Something that they may say may resonate with you, and it may change your perspective on things, or, you know, it may make you think. It may make you think, and that's the most important part of having a conversation, is your ability to think through that conversation. So to answer your question, I think that Donald Trump did exactly what he was supposed to do. If he did anything different, it would not have been him. I'm not mad at Donald Trump. I'm mad at us, in a sense that we weren't able to take what was given to us and understand that we're not going to take it anymore. Like, we need to be prepared. We always need to be prepared, and we need to be working as one. There should be no fighting amongst each other. There should be no separation of, are you Caribbean? Are you African? Are you African-American? Everybody, at the end of the day, it don't matter what you are. A lot of us look exactly the same, and we will be judged exactly the same by our looks. It doesn't matter where you come from, what language you speak, or what you identify as. It matters the fact that we have to stand together and support one another, because we have the world against us. And it's obvious by everything that's happening within this world. And it's just so funny because, in speaking to different people over the past week, I want to say, in just discussing where we are as a society and you know, in regards to the presidency and what Biden has promised and what he's done, and, you know, what we're sort of left with, you know, a lot of different things coming up as it relates to gas prices rising, you know, the HBCUs not being supported financially like promised. What was the other thing? Oh, look, now looking into like Venmo and Cash App, you know, a penny and nickeling the middle class versus actually, you know, ensuring that it's fair amongst financial gains as it relates to that 1% of America that rules America that has, you know, a bunch of money, but you're nickel and diming the poor and, you know, the middle class and underclass. So it's like, where are we now, 2021, different than we were when Trump was elected? What's the difference going on? Where are we, and where should we prepare for in the next election in order to make sure that we're going in the right direction?
Wow.
And then also the Haiti situation, the support that we're supposed to be giving to. Like, there's just so much that's going on in the world, and even Afghanistan. Like, I have it because it's not on the news 24/7. People don't talk about it, but I'm sure Afghanistan is still suffering. I'm sure Haiti is still suffering because it's evident in the fact that of all of those Americans, and I think one Canadian, I think it was like 16 Americans and one Canadian that were kidnapped and held for ransom. Nobody's even talked about that. Like, these are major, major situations that should not be happening in our day and age. In 2021, all of this should not be happening.
Yep. And it is because the fundamental concept is this problem, this challenge that we're facing right now is not black people's problem. We're in the middle of it. We're in the mm-hmm. middle of it. Because we're in the middle of everything, okay? This whole Virginia thing between the governor, Youngkin, and McCollum has now boiled down to what they always boil it down to, and it deals with race and culture. Now, the Republicans are using Toni Morrison's book, Beloved, a Nobel Prize winner in literature. They are using her book because her son, who was a woman of European descent, whose son was a senior in high school, it was a project assignment to read her book, The Beloved. And he tell mommy, or at least mommy is saying, he had nightmares for years because of what he found out white people did to black people. Do you hear what they're telling us? When they say, we don't want you to teach us what happened in America. Do you hear what they're telling us? They're saying, we know how horrible we've been. But we don't want you to teach our children that. Because my daughter going to come home and ask me, mommy, did you do when they treated black people, Hispanic people, Muslim people? What did you do?
Wow.
And mommy going to have to say, I was part of January 6th. Mother's going to have to admit I'm part of the problem. No, you're not going to have my daughter learn that, or my son. We're not going to teach them what we act. We're not going to teach them how horrible we really are. So you can't teach culture. See, they don't have a problem with CRT, the critical race theory. They don't have a problem with CRT. They have a problem with me, because I'm the one that's going to go in that school and teach them the truth. CRT isn't about teaching curriculum to children. That's not what CRT is. That's a graduate-level law class. That has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Nothing whatsoever. And it's absolutely ridiculous that anybody would say that. But see, here's what I say. Because personally, I don't want to teach your children anything. I don't want to be around you. I don't want you to know my history. And I definitely do not want to teach the staff my legacy. I would never put my sacred legacy in dirty hands to make a mistake. But family, with me saying that, that's why I do my webinars every Tuesday and my webinars the first Sunday of every month. Because if I'm going to have a big mouth and say what I just said, I better be on my A-plus game doing what I have to do. And Sasha and Kandike and Heru and all of us, we all have to be on our A game.
Well, tell people how to get to your webinar.
Well, you go to my website, kabakamine.com, and, you know, or you go to Instagram at kabakamine. And I just did an Instagram live just before you and I, we all got together on this program. But the webinars deal with teaching methodologies. People who are homeschooling their children, people who are working. Like, for instance, Sasha, when you do presentations where you are speaking to people, Kandike, when you speak to people, what I'm teaching in the webinars is as good for you, because when you're doing a presentation, you know that you're teaching people something. You may be trying to convince them to look at your product or look at your idea. But you are presenting a concept just like a teacher presents a concept to a student. So you need to know about multiple intelligences and Bloom's taxonomy. You need to know about how the brain functions. And this way, what I'm doing now is everything I did in the Board of Ed that I received awards for. Because a lot of work I did in the Board of Ed, not most of it was cultural, but a lot of it had to do with teaching methodology. It had nothing to do with culture. It may have been an African-centered approach towards teaching. But it was the same things that I studied when I sat in schools about education. We have to do this ourselves is my point, family. We have to do this. And why we do this program right here, the family, is to show what we do as a family. See, I see this as a dynasty right here. What we're doing is dynastic right here. What I do with Heru, your brother, is dynastic. It's being part of the handing down of the legacy. And one day you'll do this with your children and your grandchildren and those that you bring into this world. You hand it down. You know, and this is what we have to do. It's up to us. Look at them. They're not even ready to take care of themselves. This thing going on now is not about black folk. They use us because they're all cowards. This ain't nothing but the Hatfields and the McCoys. This war was going on in the caves of Europe before they even came down and knew there was black people. And the first people they crucified was not black people. It was their own woman. If anybody should have a problem with the European man, with the Asian man, it should be the European and Asian woman. Because he practiced on them what he's doing to us. And I think that it's just something that we have to understand now. And we have to move now. And we have to do something. Responsibility is two words, not one. It's the response to your ability. And someone, you know, when I did this the other day, I put it up on Instagram. I said that responsibility is two words, not one. Response to your ability. Someone else chimed in and sent a message, which I like and I appreciate. And they said, you know, another way to look at it, it is two words, but not only is it the response to your ability, it is your ability to respond. That was nice. I like that. And it's true. What is your ability to respond? And family, whatever you do in your life, give it to the children. If you're a tailor, teach the children tailoring. If you're a chef, teach children how to cook. If you're an engineer, a plumber, teach them the trades. We got to get back into trades now. We have to do this. And I just am just very happy to be able to do this because what I'm doing with y'all is evidence of what I'm talking about. Everything that I'm talking about is all wrapped up in my family. The fact that we could be where we are in our lives right now and you still want Pop on the radio with you every other Tuesday, that is a great honor for me. That's a great honor for me. That we still could have this type of relationship and talk to each other and be free to talk. The work that I'm doing with Heru, your brother, is the same kind of thing. The fact that we're at this point in our lives, but you see the value in family. Yeah, y'all got your own family. Yep. All of you got your own beautiful, wonderful families. But we're all family. We're all family. And it's not like you joined another family. It's that families joined. It's the same thing I said, Candace, when you got married. Same thing I said to you, Sasha, when you got married. Same exact thing. Is that marriages in the original intention was not between two people. Marriages was between two families. Marriage is a family thing, not individual where a husband and wife get married. It's about the man and the woman's family, families coming together to become stronger and to help each other and to support each other. And that's what we have to get back to. The neighbors got to come back to the hood so we can have some neighborhood. The neighbors left the hood, and that's why it's just the hood. Neighbors got to come back and create the neighborhoods.
Nobody cares anymore.
But we have no choice. we'll either do this or we'll perish. You ain't got a choice. And as you're falling off that waterfall because you waited too long to jump the boat, when you realize that you're going overboard, then you're going to say, uh-oh, the two saddest words in the English language. Too late. Do it now before it's too late. You can't take it back. It's there. But I just love what we do. I appreciate this opportunity just to have this conversation. Both of you, I'm so proud of all of my children and all that y'all have achieved. Anything and everything a father would have asked of his children, you all have done. And not only done, but you've excelled in it. So I appreciate you and I congratulate you.
Thank you.
Oh, we're just trying to live up to your, you know, your shadow. You're
all right, there
right.
We go.
We're trying to be like
there
you when
go.
You grow up.
That's funny because I want to be like y'all when I grow up. And I've been sampling wearing two different shoes because I'm following Kimani. My Kimani son, I see him with his two different sneakers on. I said, let me try that. So I've been known to walk the streets and pound the pavement with two different pairs of shoes on.
Funny.
I'm trying to be like y'all.
Well, aww.
So we'll see.
Well, on that note, that was beautiful. Aww. Yeah, but that's what family is, and, you know, appreciate the family that you have around you. Never give up. Always be there for one another and support one another and just, you know, keep on keeping on.
There
you know
we
why?
Go. I'm a copy.
There
of
we go.
Wow.
It ain't over till we win.
Oh, I'm a copy.
There we go. I have a shirt that says that.
Oh, my goodness. So do I.
You got a number of things that say that. You got masks, you got shirts, everything.
Yep. And if you want a mask and a shirt, just go on my website and you can get it. Keep on keeping on. It ain't over till we win.
There we go.
With your signature on the bottom of the shirt.
That's it. And I've got one more thing that I'm going to be adding to everything I say. And I'm saying this to the youth and to all those that want to prepare the youth for the future. Solar power is the future wealth of the planet. Teach the children the power of Ra. Everybody talking about 4G and 5G. Black folk talking about Ra-G. Power. That's the future wealth of the planet. And those who have that power will control and direct the future of our planet. We got to get up off fossil fuels. Solar power is the future wealth of the planet. And if you want to start, just get a book for a child on the sun and teach them the properties of the sun. And keep tuned in to me because I've got some lessons on how we can adapt. In fact, I'm going to be going to Washington, D.C. in December to do a presentation on solar power and how to teach the children solar power from an African perspective.
That
so
sounds good
y'all
to me.
In the DMV, get ready, because Kaba back on the road. We're going to start some stuff.
Oh, boy. Can't nothing hold you back.
Oh, my goodness. Stop it. Woo. Well, we got it, and y'all got it. Just keep doing what you do.
That's right.
Sounds good to me. We'll see you guys in another 2 weeks. Today was a good show.
That's right. Hotep
family.
Hotep.
Walking in the street, looked up and noticed he was nameless, he was homeless. She asked him his name and told him what hers was. He gave her a story about life with a glint in his eye and a corner of a smile. One conversation, a simple moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes. They said I would never make it, but I was built to break the mold.
The only dream that I've been chasing is my own. So I sing a song for the hustlers trading at the bus stop, single mothers waiting on a check to come, young teachers, students, doctors, sons on the front line knowing they don't get to run. Let's go up to the underdog, keep on keeping that what you love, and you'll find that someday soon enough you will rise up, rise up, yeah. Back to the kitchen, talking to the driver about his wife and his children, on a run from a country where they put you in prison for being a woman and speaking your mind. And she looked in his eyes in the mirror and he smiled. One conversation, a single moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes.